I am so excited to share this with you today. I can hardly wait until you get the DVD. Today we are going to talk about the promise of the Father, because in John 14:12, Jesus said, "The works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto the Father." Ladies and gentlemen, if you get what we're talking about here today, it will change your life forever. You will be different the rest of the time you walk upon the planet Earth. Because what I'm going to share with you today is radical truth from the Word of God. There are so many radicals in the world today that have stupid radical causes, but the most radical cause a person can have is simply to live for Jesus Christ, to believe what the Word of God says about them, to believe what the Word of God says about the Messiah, to believe the things that God says apply to us in the here and now. And I just pray right now that the Lord God Almighty will prepare your heart, will prepare your heart to hear the words that I'm about to speak, that every negative spirit will be bound and out of that room, and that your hearts will be open and prepared and ready to receive the Word of God that the Lord God Almighty wants to reveal to your heart and your mind today. So take your Bibles, please, and go to John chapter 14. John 14, verse 12, what a surprise. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," this is Jesus speaking, "the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." I've recently been spending a lot of time in the Gospels and just allowing myself to read what Jesus Christ did for people. I recently sent out a tape called "Have Faith in God." Jesus never said no to somebody that needed healing. He never said no to somebody who came to him for repentance. You know, the scribes and Pharisees always put Jesus down because he hung out with publicans and sinners. Well, I want to present the question, who else was he supposed to hang out with? Those people that thought they were so righteous they didn't need God? You know, that's the worst sin a man can commit, is pride and self-dependency. You know why it's the worst sin? Because it cuts you off from your relationship, from your Heavenly Father. You know, God is, in terms of sins, there are no little X's and big X's, as man would like you to think. There's no mortal and venial sins. But from a human perspective, the worst thing that we can do is get puffed up and start thinking that we can do anything without our Father, that we don't need the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit active in our life. From our perspective, that is the worst sin a man can commit. It's worse than adultery, drinking, or anything else you can think of, because that's the sin that will cut you off from the flow, the life source that God has placed within you. Because, ladies and gentlemen, every one of us that have received Jesus Christ, we have received the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father. So let's continue here in John chapter 14 and in verse 15. I'm so glad that you're at fellowship today reading this, because I want your eyes on the page. I want you reading this word of life and letting these words speak to you, because I don't want you to walk out of here believing this because Peg taught this to you. I want you to believe this only when the Holy Spirit opens this up to your heart, to your mind, and you make this your own, and this becomes your word of life. John chapter 14, verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's what I tell my husband all the time. They're not grievous. Well, I think Jesus meant something a little different. "If you love me, keep my commandments." And this is what Jesus is standing there in person promising his disciples. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." You know why I love that phrase? Because Jesus says another. Don't you think living with Jesus himself was a great comfort? Every time the storms raged, or they didn't have enough food to feed the people, or they didn't know what they were going to do, what did they do? They turned to Jesus. They turned to Jesus. And Jesus is standing there in person promising them, I am going to send you another comforter. We're going to realize later on Jesus makes the comparison. He says, I'm with you right now, but I'm going to send you something. I'm going to give you something, listen to this, that's going to take my place. Jesus speaking, something that was going to take the place of physically walking and fellowshipping and observing and learning from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that's quite a promise. That is quite a promise. Well, let's keep going here. Can you tell I'm excited, folks? Because that's what the word will do. When you get a hold of this word, baby, it will make you alive on the inside. It will give you a kind of energy that you've never experienced before. Well, and Jesus said he was going to pray or ask the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you how long? Forever. You know what? When something abides with you forever, it means he's not going to take it back. He doesn't have to tinker with it and improve it. You can't make it any better. He was going to give it to you, and you were going to keep that which he gives you forever. Yeah, that kind of reverberates in the old brain cells, doesn't it? That what God was going to give his people through Jesus Christ was going to be with them for eternity, forever. Something that you were going to receive right now in this life, the promise of the Father, was going to be in you and with you forever, for eternity. If you haven't heard my teaching on newness of life, you really need to get a copy of that. Because I really talk about the new man, the regenerated man, the inward man, and what this new you is all about. And what it pertains to, and how God worked all this stuff in a person's life. But see, we couldn't have the new man without the promise of the Father. Without the promise of the Father. So, in verse 17, Jesus names it. He says, even the Spirit of truth, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not. That word sees means to acknowledge. To see with your eyes of your heart, to acknowledge in your heart. The world sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. You know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. When we recognize the truth of God's word, when we recognize Jesus the Messiah and we accept what he's done for us, right then, Jesus was with them. But Jesus said when he left, he was going to send another comforter that would not only be with them, but it would be in them. Big difference. Can't lose that. Can't shake it. It's like your shadow. No matter where you go, it's there. That's right. I will not leave you comfortless, verse 18. I will come to you. So if Jesus promised to come to us and he's not physically present here, then what did he send in his stead? The Comforter, which we're going to see now is the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. He's speaking these things, being yet present with them. But, setting in contrast, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. In my name always represents what a person has accomplished. When you do something in the name of Jesus Christ, it's not a rote, oh, in the name of Jesus, oh, in the... When you do something in the name of Jesus, it means you're standing in the power of all that Jesus accomplished. It's like that signet ring that the Father gave to the Son when he came home. It gives you the authority. It represents all the wealth and power and wisdom and might behind that name. Man, if we understood that, that one thing alone, I'm telling you, our prayers would be so much different. When we pray, we would believe if we understood the name of Jesus. Well, he says he's going to send you the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He should always be translated it, because Holy Spirit is neuter. It's neither male nor female. It's the gift that comes from God through Jesus Christ. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And I love it that the very next verse he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, in the world in which we live, it is impossible to have peace without the Holy Spirit. It is impossible. You can stare at your navel and light candles till your toes fall off. And at best, all you're going to do is simulate or have a good imitation of the true peace that God Almighty has given you. Listen to me. Has given to you through Jesus Christ. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, you do not have the Prince of Peace living on the inside. It's that simple. It is that simple. And so Jesus said he was going to give us this Spirit. He was going to give us this Spirit that was going to teach us and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Anything we need to know can come to us by way of Holy Spirit. Remember God said in James, if any man lack wisdom, let him go around in the dark and wonder all day what he's supposed to do. No, what did he say? He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask me. And it's not like God is a desk reference where he's got to run out and get the solution. Baby, the solution is in you, because the mind of Christ is in you. All the knowledge of God is at your beck and call if you need it. All you got to do is tap into it. Because do you think if they had a problem and went to Jesus, Jesus would say, well, wait a minute, give me a couple days to cogitate on that and I'll be back. No, when they had a question, they went to the Lord, and the Lord gave them an answer. He gave them what they needed to know in that situation. People, if you start thinking about what Jesus did when he was personally present, it'll be real easy to understand more about what the Holy Spirit can do in us and for us if we will walk according to the promise of the Father. But we have lived so far below par because we have been talked out of our inheritance in the now. Well, let's look at John chapter 20, please. You know, if you really want to learn a lot about how Holy Spirit acts, you know, how it works within you, what kind of things can happen, what the relationship is with God and Christ and you, just read John chapters 14, 15, and 16. We're not going to read all that right now, but Jesus gives us volumes of information on how the Holy Spirit works. That it's God and Christ making their home in us, giving us power for abundant living. Wow, John chapter 20, verse 19. And this is Jesus giving his disciples more instruction after he's been raised from the dead. John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day of the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Well, that's pretty much why they locked their doors. They were afraid the same guys that came and tortured Jesus and killed him were coming after them next. Wasn't that a logical way to think? Yes, it was logical, but it wasn't spiritual. It was logical, but it wasn't spiritual. So they're behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. How cool is that? Here's a bunch of guys quaking in their boots. In one sense, you can understand it. Pretty afraid that these people are going to come back and they're going to be next. They're the next ones to hang on the cross. And Jesus just, boop, appears in the midst. Peace. Don't be afraid. Don't freak out. I got your back. I haven't left you comfortless. And he's just ingraining. He's just giving them further insight into what he promised them back there in John 14. Oh, man. You talk about a good Lord and Savior. You talk about a wonderful Heavenly Father who just works through his Son to give us everything he can think of. Man, what a comfort. Verse 20. And when he, Jesus, had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And you know what? I don't want to get off on a tangent, but why didn't they recognize him before he showed them his hands and side? See, whenever you don't recognize the things of God, whenever you're missing it spiritually, I can tell you, and I could work this through the Word and show you line by line, it's always because of hardness of heart. It's always because of fear, because your heart gets hard and you can't remember how good God is. There was a time when the waves were tossing the ship around, and Jesus said, you didn't believe I could calm the sea because you already forgot the miracle of the loaves and the fishes because of the hardness of your heart. Boy, hard-heartedness is a bad disease to have because it will cut you off from the great things that God can do for you. That's a whole other teaching, but a good point to know. Verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Had to tell them twice. Now look at this. This is what I want you to focus on. This sentence right here. As my Father hath sent me. Does anybody looking at this have any question that God sent Jesus? No. But look at the next part. Even so send I you. Whoa, now it's hitting a little close to home. Now send I you. As strong as the Father sent me, that's how I'm going to send you. I'm giving you the same commission that my Father gave me. Get out there and do his will. That's your first priority here in this life. Get out there and do his will. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So right after he tells them he's going to commission them, just like God commissioned him, that's a pretty strong commission, isn't it? He's not going to send them out empty-handed. You know, I was thinking the other day, if I was there at your fellowship and somebody dropped dead, God forbid, but somebody did, and I just said, hey, does anybody in here believe that God can raise them from the dead? You know what? I bet you everybody in that room would say, yeah, I believe God can raise him from the dead, wouldn't you? Why? Because God raises the dead, right? We know God can do it. And if I said, okay, I'm going to go raise him from the dead, I bet you everybody get out of their chairs and they'd walk over there and they'd stand around me and lay hands on my shoulders and be great anticipation. Boy, great, we're going to see God raise him from the dead. But what if somebody dropped dead in the fellowship and I said, all right, Ron, go raise him from the dead? What would happen? Would you be like the disciple and shut your heart for fear? Or would you say, peace be still, Jesus has sent me and I have the power to do this? See, we can get pretty bold when we're watching somebody else do this stuff. But I want this to hit home. I want you to realize this is not for Peg. This is for you. This is for Sally. This is for Elena. This is for Rebecca. This is for Cody. See, as Jesus was sent by God, we have no doubt that God sent him. He said, even so, send I you. And he didn't send you out there empty-handed. You know, last night, Chris and I went to a Bible fellowship where he was privileged to share the word. And I was around, I don't know what, 20, 25 people. I've met one time. I don't really know these people. I don't really say a lot in those fellowships. I kind of sit there and mostly observe. And yet last night there was a woman that needed to be healed, needed healing, which most of the people in that room, I think they don't believe in, do they, Chris?
I don't know.
We don't know if they believe in miraculous healing or not, but one elderly woman wanted to be healed. And you know what? Two men who I don't even know, who I basically met for the first time last night, came over and got me one under each arm and said, will you come pray for Mary? How did they know? Why didn't they do it? These people haven't even really, they don't really know me, but they must have sensed that I had faith. So I went over there and ministered to that sweet woman, and she got up out of her chair. I don't know, what's she, 78, 80? Danced around the room after we prayed. And you know what? Man, bless God. Afterwards, we were talking, and I said, Mary, have you ever received miraculous healing? And she looked up in my face with these little eyes of an old lady and said, yes, my husband used to pray for me all the time, and I was never sick, but he passed away. And she said, and I spoke in tongues years ago when I was really moved by the Spirit. And here God sent us to this fellowship last night. I don't know what else happened through the word that Chris shared and us just being there with those people. But you know what? From my perspective, God sent me there for Mary, for that little woman who had faith as a grain of mustard seed so that the power of Jesus Christ could be unleashed in her body and she could be physically healed. And I know that her heart got healed because she saw somebody again who walked by the Spirit like her husband. I'm telling you, people, God is good. God is a good God. He loves us. He loves all His children. Everything God has set up is to bless us. Everything Christ gave us was to provide for and to protect the church. He didn't do one thing to take away from us. All God ever does is add to your life. And ladies and gentlemen, when you believe that and you let yourself get filled up and get loose in the Spirit, you know what you'll do? You'll add to other people's life too. Well, look at Acts chapter 1. Bless God. Bless God. Bless God. Bless His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, what a great life we live. Acts chapter 1. The former treatise, talking about the book of Luke, have I made, O Theophilus. And remember, O Theophilus means beloved of God. Right away, you know Acts is going to be addressed to people that are loved by God. Wow. Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. How many times do we jump over that? Jesus began a work, but it continues in Him in a continuing ministry, and it continues in us as His representatives on earth, because as the Father sent Him, so send I you. You listening to this right now. Man. Until the day in which He was taken up, after that He through Holy Spirit had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen. What did Jesus do? He operated through Holy Spirit. He had been given that Spirit not by measure, but the fullness of it. He operated through Holy Spirit. Verse 3, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion, His death, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, Jesus is again together with His disciples, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me. Wait for the promise of the Father. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized in water. Nope. What does it say? Ye shall be baptized with or in, E-N. You know what in is that word that's, if you wanted to see it visually, it would be a circle with a dot right in the middle, like a target. You're going to be baptized in Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, not many days hence. To baptize means to be completely immersed, to be completely immersed. Jesus said, John baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized in something different. You're going to be immersed in Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, folks, if I've got a choice of being dunked in water or immersed in Holy Spirit, I got no question what my choice is. I want to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. How about you? How about you? Verse 8. Because Jesus said when they got immersed in the Holy Spirit, that they would receive power, power, after the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's an impossibility to be a witness without Holy Spirit. If you don't have Holy Spirit, how's the Spirit working in you to even tell you what to say to people? You know, I woke up this morning at whatever, 7:30. And at 7:35 is when I said, God, what do you want me to share with these people today? I don't know what time it is now, 10:30, 11 o'clock? This is what God showed me you need to hear. This is what God showed me I need to hear. You know how God showed me this? By way of Holy Spirit. Yeah, you got it right. That's exactly how he showed me. It did not come out of my two-bit brain. It came out of my spirit that is in the flow with God's Spirit. Wow. And you know why I can be in the flow with God's Spirit? Because when I accepted Christ and I received Holy Spirit, my damaged, mutated spirit that I was born with, that I got from Adam that was under sin, that spirit got purged. Yeah, wait till you see this one. You know, John's baptism is talked about in all four Gospels. Matthew 3:11, Mark 1:8, Luke 3:16. Let's look at Luke 3:16 because we're really going to look at John, but I want to take a look at this pretty quick. In Luke 3:16, it says, John answered unto them, saying, all them saying, I indeed baptize you with water, but, look at all the buts in here. You know, a butt can mess you up. If you say, well, I'm sick, but God can't heal me, well, your butt's just messed you up. But if you say, yeah, I'm sick, but God can heal me. See the difference? Well, he indeed baptized with water, but one mightier. That tells you something greater is coming. One mightier than I comes. The latches of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire. You know what fire does? Does two things, people. It only does two things. Fire either destroys or purges. How do you think these things get purified? Silver, gold, how do they get purified? In the fire. There's two things fire does. It either destroys or it purges. Look at verse 17, talking about Jesus Christ, whose fan, his winnower. That's what you winnow the wheat with, the fan. You'd throw it up, you'd shake it, and the good stuff would stay in, the bad stuff would fall out. Whose fan, whose winnower is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, the wheat that comes to him. Man, I got chills. Jesus is going to purge that which comes to him. And there's only two things that happen. It's either going to get destroyed or purified. Now watch this. Watch this. And he will gather the wheat, that which is purified, the good stuff, into his garner, but the chaff will burn with fire unquenchable. See, when something gets purged, it means to be cleansed perfectly. You know what the Father promised you through Jesus Christ? That when you accepted Christ, that your spirit, what used to be the spirit of man, would get purged. It would be cleansed perfectly. That your spirit would be perfectly clean, clear through. That's why Jesus had to redeem you. You had to be justified. That's why you've got the righteousness of God. That's why you're as holy as he is holy. That's why in your spirit there's no condemnation, no judgment, because your spirit is perfect. Perfect. Man, if I was a shouting Baptist, I'd shout. We heard a shouting Baptist the other day. I'll tell you, I'll never go back in there. So excuse me if I offend you with my volume. Love the Baptist, but can't quite take that much shouting. Okay, John chapter 1, talking again about John the Baptist. By the way, every record that it talks about John the Baptist, it says John baptized with water, but one's going to come after me to baptize in fire. Okay. John chapter 1, verse 23. Talking about John, he said, John said of himself, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. One of the things John came to do was stir the people up and get them ready for the Messiah. This was the proclamation you made when a king was coming to town. You said, hey, the king is coming. We're going to fill the potholes. The government likes that. See, we're going to fill the potholes. We're going to clean up the road. Why? Not to clean up the road, but because the king was coming and they wanted to receive him with honor. One of the reasons John the Baptist came was to stir the people up and get them ready for the Messiah. Okay. And of course, verse 24. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, the Pharisees, you always know something bad's going to happen, right? When these self-righteous dudes come on the scene. And they asked him and said unto him, what? Please look at this. Please grab this. Why baptize thou then if thou be not the Christ or Elias? He is going to answer why John did water baptism. We have so many churches today built on the one thing that you got to be baptized in water, dip, dunk, spray, dry clean, I don't know what all, over something that happened maybe 6 months in all of human history. And nobody reads this chapter to just say, why did John baptize? Well, guess what? I'm going to show you why John baptized, but I'm not going to guess. I'm not going to speculate. I'm going to show you from the scriptures why John baptized. Won't that be nice to let God answer the question? Verse 26, John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. They didn't know who he was yet. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Who's he talking about? Jesus, the Messiah. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You're going to find out in two more verses how he knew that was the Lamb of God. I'll tell you. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. How was he before John? He was in God's plan for man, but he also was exalted above John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist may have had spirit upon him from the womb, but guess what? He wasn't the Messiah. There was no man higher on earth ever than the Messiah. And look at this, verse 31. Here we go. Here's the answer if they just read it. John says this, and I knew him not, but, here's what's going to happen instead of knowing him not, but that he should be made manifest or evident to Israel, therefore, that he may be evident to Israel, therefore, I am come baptizing with water. Do you need a concordance to understand that? John said specifically the reason he was baptizing in the Jordan instead of the high priest doing the ceremonial cleansing, which they did at the temple every day, the reason John got among the people and baptized in the Jordan was so God could show him, John, who the Messiah was, so that John could say before the people, here's the Messiah. How hard is that? Is that difficult to understand? Here's the answer. Verse 32. And John bare record. What does that mean? It means he bare record. He told the people, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, not in the form of a dove, please. It just came down from the air like a dove, and it stood upon him. Look at verse 33. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, who would that be? The Lord God Almighty, our Father God, Elohim Jehovah, that one, that sent John to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with Holy Ghost, not with water. How much more specific could you get? And at the beginning, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And John says that the reason he baptized in water is so that he could recognize who the Messiah was and proclaim that Messiah to Israel. And something else happened. If you read other records of the baptism, a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." That's another pretty good confirmation he's the Messiah, right? And John saw Spirit. Somehow he saw in his spirit, Spirit descending down and staying on Jesus. So this had to be the day that Jesus was filled with the Spirit, right? And at that day, his ministry began. That day, his ministry began. That's why I know you can't be witnesses. I know you can't be ministers without Holy Spirit. Even Jesus couldn't minister without Holy Spirit. And shortly after that, he went out into the wilderness and he was tempted 40 days of the devil, and so on and so forth. And his ministry began. But people, we have churches fighting. I lost a good friend of mine because I would not go to his church and be dunked in water. And I had a choice, lose the friend or serve God. Well, I don't have any friends when it comes to the Word. I love people, but I love God a whole lot more. And if somebody ever challenges me to do something that I know is contrary to God's Word, even if it's me, I ain't going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. Because I love God more than I love impressing people or having any momentary pleasure. Well, so John said pretty plainly two reasons why he came and baptized with water. Number one, to get the people ready, to make straight the paths for the Lord, and to identify who Jesus Christ was and is. Take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 2, please. Wish it wasn't so hot in here. Well, maybe it's just me, hot for the Lord. What do you think? Acts chapter 2. I think this is probably going to, well, we'll see. What have I got, 10 more minutes or something? Don't know if we're going to get through all this right now, but people, golly smokes. Jesus said he was going to send the promise of the Father because as God had sent him, he was going to send us. And he said that in order to do that, he was going to equip us. And he was going to give us a Holy Spirit that would purge us, that would make us perfectly clean. Am I purged in my body? I wish. I wish I never got sick, never had a headache, never had an ache or pain. Am I purged in my mind? I wish. I wish I never had a negative thought, never doubted God, never was sad. But I'm not. So out of body, soul, and spirit, hello, we got three choices where we're going to be purged. Well, we've eliminated the body, we've eliminated the soul, so what's it got to be? It's got to be our spirit. But see, we've got people even saying, well, you've just got a little seed of the Spirit, a little spark of the divine. Just fan it. And as you are good, your spirit will grow. People, that contradicts Galatians, Colossians, so many places in the Word that says you receive the Spirit by faith. You can't do anything by works to make it better. We have literally spit upon the truth of God's Word. Because we've gone our own way, our own foolish thinking, and we've missed the point. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to wrap it up. I've got a lot more to say, but I'm going to say it in the next tape. We're going to get to this next week. I hope you can wait that long. Because I'm going to wrap this all up, and I'm just going to share some things with you that are just going to blow your mind. But people, if you can get a hold of this, that you have been purged, you have been cleaned through and through by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that God has put a brand new spirit within you, I'm telling you, it's going to change your walk. It's going to change how you think about yourself. It's going to change how you act towards other people. It's just going to change everything about your life. Fear not. Fear not. It will just drive the fear from your heart. Perfect love casts out fear. And when you recognize what God has given you in the Spirit, when you recognize what God has given you in the Spirit, you realize He loves you so much that He is never, ever going to let you fall through the cracks. He is never going to let you come to Him and ask anything according to His Word that He will say no. So, Father, right now I thank You from the bottom of my heart for the truths revealed in Your matchless Word, that You're working in people's hearts right now to receive this spiritual truth that's being unleashed by the power of Your Word that is Spirit and it is truth, and it's sinking into people's hearts so that they can walk like Jesus Christ and realize that as You sent Jesus, so Jesus sends us. Father, we love You, we praise You, and we thank You for this unsearchable truth through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.